The Lord be with you.
And
with a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus entered a village where a woman whose name was Martha welcomed him. She had a sister named Mary, who sat beside the Lord at his feet listening to him speak. Martha, burdened with much serving, came to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me by myself to do the serving? Tell her to help me." The Lord said to her in reply, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and worried about many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken from her." The Gospel of the Lord. Jesus Christ. Good morning, everyone. It's great to be back here with you in New York. I think the last time I was here, it was like freezing, and now it's just like sweltering. So I always come back to the East Coast when we're in these weather extremes, which is the complete antithesis of what I'm used to now in the Bay Area in Berkeley by San Francisco, because it's like every day it's 70 and breezy. It's just like, it's amazing how easy you forget about weather extremes when you're living out there. So I guess I'm happy that I was reminded that there are other parts of the country that really struggle with weather. So I'm in it here with you as well. So thanks for being here this morning as we're all trying to get through this hot weather. You know, today's gospel, I can't help to think, is just one of those stories with Jesus that just seems all too human, all too real. How many of us have just dealt with just the frustration of someone close to us, perhaps a family member or a friend, who doesn't seem to be pulling their weight when we're overextending ourselves in trying to do something? And of course, this is the case of, you know, Jesus is the guest at this house of these two sisters, Martha and Mary. And you see that Martha is doing everything to make sure that the house looks right, everything's put together. And of course, what's Mary doing? Well, she's just kind of listening and hanging on to every word that Jesus is saying. It's almost as if, like, you know, Mary's just like this Jesus' biggest fan and just can't wait to just get everything out of him, while Martha's the one in the back, you know, kind of running the concession stand, making sure that, you know, everything's working. And of course, there's this resentment on Martha's side because she is doing all this work and Mary seems to be getting a free ride. Not only is Martha serving Jesus and making the house good for Jesus, it seems as if Martha's also making sure that Mary is okay as well. You know, twice the amount of work almost, right? And when we look at this story, of course, as it is with everything in the gospel, there's probably a deeper spiritual implication going on. And many of us will take away from this story, well, there seems to be two different ways to live the Christian life. There is the life, we could say, of the full-time contemplative, the full-time prayer. And then there's the life of the full-time active minister, social worker, if you will, the person who's always trying to make things and make an impact in society. And of course, in our Catholic Christian tradition, we could probably look upon many examples of different saints, many different notable people who've fallen in one of the two categories. We can think of many saints who were monks and nuns, people who were true contemplatives, people who left the world as a way to form greater intimacy with God. And in that presence of being with God, they were able to engage the world in a different way, as a way to look at the world as something that is passing and is a way for us to prepare ourselves for eternity. We have tons of even recent examples of people who were contemplatives in our modern time, in the 20th century. You can think of someone like Thomas Merton, for example, who was who lived a very active life here in New York City, going to Columbia University, and then becoming a Catholic and leaving the world and going to a monastery in Kentucky, where he was able to devote his life to prayer and spiritual writing and reading, which many of us have maybe been influenced by. And of course, then we have the great other extreme of people who have worked very hard in the world, trying to make an imprint on bringing relief to the poor, to the suffering, to those who are marginalized. And of course, in the 20th century, again, we can think of someone like a Mother Teresa, who was clearly right in the thick of things in Calcutta, working with people who were suffering from leprosy and other horrible ailments in the midst of extreme poverty. And so, looking at those two types of extremes of how to live the Christian life, we kind of look at this gospel as a place where it finds its origin. Mary being the great contemplative at the feet of Jesus, Martha being the great active social worker in the world, making a difference. Yet today, Jesus seems to give Martha a hard time, almost saying that all this activity is not really what's important. Yet, when we look at it in a far deeper way, it's perhaps not Jesus's criticism of activity. It's more of Jesus being mindful that the thing that Martha was struggling with is something that I think we can all identify with, and that is anxiety. Jesus says that, Martha, you are anxious about many things. Anxiety. I think all of us understand what it means to be anxious, to be worried. And what is anxiety? Well, anxiety is simply us not living in the present moment. And what do I mean by that? Because if you really think about it, our anxiety is always worrying about things that might happen, that could happen, that maybe even will happen, but yet they're not actually happening right now. All of us right now at this very moment may feel anxiety because you may think about what you have to do after you leave church. You may have to think about what you have to deal with the rest of this week. You may think about something that's happening right now in your family life, in your personal life. But if you're really honest with yourself, if we are all honest with ourselves, at this very moment as we sit in these pews, we really don't have to worry about anything. We can just be. But yet our anxiety takes us to someplace else. And Jesus is very, very delicately and very gently, I would say, gently reminding Martha that anxiety takes us outside of the presence of God. Because the presence of God is always in the present. The presence of God is an eternal now. There's not a presence of God that's found in the past or a presence of God that's found in the future, because God doesn't operate in time the way that we understand it. God exists outside of time. He's beyond time. We're the ones who think in a very linear progression. God is simply the eternal now. I am who am, as he reveals his name to Moses. And how do we practically deal with that? Well, we deal with it as we've tried our best to become more contemplative. Now, that doesn't mean that we're all going to run off and become monks and nuns. But we're all called to be contemplatives. The Christian should always be one who is constantly contemplating the presence of Jesus Christ in the now, in the present. Because only by contemplating where Jesus is in the present moment will anyone be able to know what he or she should do with his or her life? If you're thinking about the future and always worrying about what's going to happen next and how you're going to deal with things, or if you're even dealing with the regrets of the past, those things do not help us to respond to how God wants us to live our lives today. Now, let me give a short little example of this. It happened to me this week as I was coming back from California. For those of you who may not know, I'm out in California in studies, in graduate work, and I came back on a flight that was supposed to arrive at 9:30 at JFK on Wednesday evening. But there were thunderstorms here in New York, and the plane was delayed, so I didn't make it back here until midnight at JFK. So, of course, I have to try to get back from there over to here, to Brooklyn, and I want to take the subway. So I had to get to the Howard Beach station to take the train back into Brooklyn. But since it was so late, I arrive at the platform at Howard Beach, and there was track work being done, and how it was going to arrange is that you had to, like, you know, get onto the train, go to two stops, get off the train, get onto a bus, go to that would take you to Euclid Avenue, and then from there you hop on another train to shoot you into Brooklyn. So of course, my five-hour flight from San Francisco to New York was now going to be equally matched by probably a five-hour commute from JFK to Brooklyn. And here it is, you know, midnight, and there was a man on the platform with me. He's like, "Hey, you know something, where are you going?" I said, "Well, I got to go into, you know, Brooklyn. I'm going to get off of J Street." He's like, "Oh, that's where I got to go too." He's like, "So how about we, like, split an Uber?" He's like, "I just checked it out. It's like $50-some or something like that." Now, of course, I was tempted, I guess, for a moment to think that, all right, well, I guess that would make more sense. I mean, I am kind of tired, and I should probably get to sleep. I have a long day the next day on Thursday. But for some strange reason, I just felt that, you know, I kind of made a commitment that I was going to take the train back. And yeah, I could afford to take the Uber, so it's not like I'm somehow financially strapped. But there was a great desire on my part to say, you know, something. I want to be present to this moment because there are lots of other people who do not have the luxury of just hopping on an Uber right now. There are lots of people right now on this platform who've worked a very long day, most likely at the airport, and have to go through this whole process of hopping on the train and dealing with this bus shuttle and going on the other train and getting to bed probably way too late and having to wake up way too early. And while it's very tempting to think that I can just kind of be removed from that, for some reason, I just really felt the presence of the Spirit saying to stay. And so I did stay. And after all the different exchanges and things like that, I probably ended up at bed around 3 a.m. But it's amazing what you are able to behold on the New York public transportation system at that early hours, right? Because you see a lot of stuff, right? You see people who really are just spent from the day of working a very long shift, and you hear the conversations, and you're hearing their anxieties and their worries. And of course, you see people who are dealing with their own issues of mental illness, drug addiction. You see the homeless. You see the young teenage couples making out. You see everything. But you know what you really see in the midst of all that? You see Jesus Christ. You see Jesus Christ in each and every one of those people on that train and on that bus. Because Jesus comes to us in the present moment through each and every person, and most especially through their wounds, through their suffering. through their trials, through their anxieties. We often have to remember that we worship a Jesus who's hanging on a cross. That's the Jesus we worship. That's the Jesus we behold. We don't behold Superman Jesus. We don't behold Jesus who's just somehow above all of the worries and stresses of the world. We behold a very broken Jesus on the cross. And that's how we're able to encounter the same broken Jesus in each and every one around us. And it's what gives us hope that in our own brokenness and our own pain, and yes, even in our own anxieties, there is tremendous hope. Tremendous hope. Because as much as we gaze upon the crucified Christ, we know the story does not end there. We know that the death of our Lord is so intrinsically connected to his resurrection that they are almost one in the same. They are contingent on each other. Our longings and our sufferings only increase our desire more for wholeness. Yet if we are always thinking about how we wish things were somehow different, or if we're always thinking about how we personally have to manage things or handle things, we can neglect to see exactly what Jesus is offering us in the present moment, in our own situations and through the people around us, what we need to respond to as a way to not only get through what's happening, but to also find joy in what's happening in our lives. Yet it's impossible to do this just simply by having a change of attitude. Martha could very well continue to be working in the kitchen, getting things ready. But rather than trying to tell Jesus, telling God what to do, to allow her work to reveal in and of itself a certain type of wholeness, a certain type of contemplative presence. Because the reality is that Martha wasn't happy doing what she had to do. She wasn't happy that she had to go through all this process of work. She didn't see the joy in the suffering of work. Just like it's probably not fun to have to actually just hang out on the platform of the train and hop on the bus and do all these other things, exchanges, to get back home one night. That's not a fun thing to do. And I could very be tempted to say, you know, let me get out of this. Uber, Lyft. But yet, when we're able to enter into contemplation, we can see that even the roughest, toughest commute can be a moment of joy because we are united more closely with Christ, with Jesus in his wounds. We do that today when we come to this Mass. Once again, we approach the altar and we are united with Christ in Holy Communion. We receive his body, the same body that's bruised and broken on the cross. We receive that body and we are one with Jesus' brokenness. Just as the priest breaks the host, we are then clearly entering into the broken body of Christ. Yet we also receive, at the same time, the resurrected Christ, the Christ of completeness, of wholeness, of healing. As we receive Jesus today in this very hidden presence of what looks to be bread and wine, may we then leave this church and once again behold and revere the hidden presence in the broken bodies of people that we see all throughout our city, and maybe especially on our trains and buses in our city. And know that we are in solidarity with each other in our own brokenness. And only by being in that place, we're able to heal each other. Because the same Jesus who unites us in brokenness is the same Jesus that is helping us all to heal. May we contemplate today what we're being called to do next. God bless you all.